Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture tells a very specific story. It's about Russia's defeat of Napoleon's invading army. The piece opens quietly with a traditional Russian Orthodox hymn, A Prayer for Peace. After a Russian folk dance asserts national pride, the Marseillaise, the French national anthem, signals Napoleon's invasion. Five cannon shots are fired in the Battle of Borodino, a turning point in the war. The French are driven from the field, and the opening chant returns triumphantly. And just to be absolutely clear who won, there's the Imperial Russian national anthem, God Save the Tsar. So how did music celebrating Russia's pushback against a foreign power become associated with America's 4th of July? It's not even about our War of 1812. The answer has to do with the cannons, Americans' love of Tchaikovsky, and our pop culture's embrace of the 1812 overture. In 1962, Quaker Oats used it to advertise puffed rice cereal.
To release all the flavor of whole grain rice, we blow it up 16 times by shooting it from guns. Out come those nourishing little puffs of pleasure, Quaker puffed rice.
In 1971, Woody Allen used it in the film Bananas as soundtrack to a fantasy love scene. And in 1974, the Boston Pops added cannons, church bells, and fireworks to draw crowds to their Independence Day concert. It was such a success, the Pops made the 1812 overture a 4th of July staple. Other orchestras followed suit, and a holiday tradition was born. But is there irony this year? In playing music that celebrates Russia's defense against an encroaching foreign power, while Robert Mueller and his team investigate possible Russian interference in the American democratic process? Is it time to give the 1812 overture a rest? Of course, irony is no stranger to the American patriotic canon. The Star-Spangled Banner is set to the tune of an English drinking song, and My Country 'Tis of Thee borrows from the British national anthem, God Save the Queen. Cheryl Kaskowitz is a scholar of American music.
For people who know both the words and the music, the song carries a dual meaning. The words can be a direct protest to the tune. You have both those associations.
Americans don't seem to care all that much about where their patriotic songs come from. If a piece of music is flexible enough to serve the needs of the moment, we seem happy to use it. Kaskowitz wrote a book about God Bless America, and she says that song is a prime example.
It's been used to support war and to support peace. It's been a civil rights anthem, but also used to uphold the status quo. So it means different things to different people, even when they're singing it side by side.
Russians are better schooled in their cultural history, especially their classical music. When Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture was performed in Russia during the communist era, the Tsarist anthem was replaced with music by another composer. Michael Zaretsky is a violist in the Boston Symphony and Pops. He grew up in the former Soviet Union.
Since Tchaikovsky is the most loved and popular Russian composer, I think Russians not only know that he composed 1812, but they are also very proud of that.
So is it strange that Americans have adopted it as a patriotic work?
When first time I played the 1812 overture here in U.S. as part of 4th of July celebration, I was quite surprised why Russian music is played in celebration of American Revolution.
Keith Lockhart, who conducts the Boston Pops in the 1812 overture tonight, suggests maybe I'm overthinking this.
People love the pomp and circumstance of it, and I think they love the bombast. And, you know, who doesn't like a great orchestral composition where you get to blow things up in the middle of it?
For the World, Judith Kogan, Boston.